Night one of the WWE draft has taken place. It is now completed, and we got some very minor changes. We're going to go ahead and jump right into that as soon as we get started. But first and foremost, I want to introduce my co-host, the brand new SmackDown co-host that I got here, Robin Lundberg. Robin, what's up, man?
I'm probably the best draft pick, you know, in recent times.
You're the biggest change so far.
Yeah, that's certainly the biggest brand change. You know, not exactly like I tweeted out, like, didn't need a neck brace to keep up with the changes in this one.
No, definitely not. I kind of feel bad because I was like, all right, here we go. It's night one of the draft. I'm so freaking ready. I was ready to come out here and just be like, all of these crazy things happened. And while there were a couple of surprises that I can't wait to talk about, there weren't that many changes. And, you know, I feel like the draft is always stronger on Raw because, of course, it's 3 hours. There's a bigger draft pool and there are more rounds, therefore more selections. But I kind of felt like they just needed to, I just personally felt like a lot of the roster sort of stayed the same a little bit.
I mean, it's not a feeling, it's a matter of fact, right? The vast majority of the roster stayed the same. The only things that, like, notably off the top of my head, obviously the Carmelo Hayes thing, which led to the Cody Rhodes match. That was the first, like, oh, this is cool, this is interesting. Nia Jax switch. Did anybody else switch at all?
I have them down here. I'll tell you exactly. Okay, so let's get into this. I do want to break this down round by round. So let's break it down round by round just to make it a little bit spicy. We're going to spice up the draft for you guys here. That's what we're going to do today, Robin. So round one, SmackDown drafted Bianca Belair as their first pick. And the second surprise, was their second pick in an NXT call-up, which was Carmelo Hayes. So let's start there. How did you feel about Bianca being the first person for SmackDown and then the Carmelo Hayes call-up?
Well, I like the Carmelo Hayes call-up because it was a surprise. Obviously, it's an elevation. Obviously, it also set up the main event of tonight's SmackDown. And then, of course, I like Bianca Belair being the top pick just from a gravitas standpoint. We've talked about this a lot and how big the women's division feels. And, you know, for one of the women to be number one pick, you know, Roman Reigns withdraws himself, which was a cool little wrinkle, I thought, before it started as well. But that is part of the emphasis and the, you know, gravity that they have put on the women's division and what it means to be somebody like Bianca Belair.
Yeah, and just so that you guys know, it was announced a couple of days in advance that the champions are remaining on the brand in which they already represent. So if some of you guys are wondering, like, why the heck wasn't it Bayley or somebody else? It's because the champions are remaining where they are. And also, I should say one more thing before we get into this, and that is that when the show started, Paul Heyman announced that Roman Reigns has withdrawn himself from the draft. And even with that being said, Robin, I thought, so the reason why is because apparently he's not going to be there for some time. So we don't know when he's coming back. But I mean, it kind of feels like, hey, we're all knowing he's going to SmackDown, given that the entire bloodline, except for like Jay, is on freaking SmackDown.
Well, yeah. And he's been such a staple of SmackDown. But I thought that was cool. Like, again, in the sense of, if he's not going to be back, what's the point in drafting him? They're going to have to figure out this mix for a while now. I mean, a lot of big players have been taken off the board, if we're real. You know, Roman's not there. Seth is still out injured, though he was drafted tonight. Obviously, The Rock is no longer around. Rhea Ripley is injured. That is a lot of star power that is taken down there. But, you know, I think that SmackDown is just stronger. I've thought, we talked about this last week, and part of it's the 2 hours. Big part of it's the 2 hours. Maybe that gives me an inherent bias because I just like the way it moves better. But I also think the SmackDown roster is just stronger. Maybe it's because I already liked it better and they got all the same people. But, you know, the bloodline thing is interesting to me. They stay on SmackDown. LA Knight, I like to say his catchphrases around the house. He stays on SmackDown. You got Bianca, like you just mentioned, on SmackDown. I just feel like Randy Orton on SmackDown. I just feel like SmackDown is a lot stronger. The only negative was I was watching it with my oldest son, Raj, who, you know, is now watching SmackDown religiously with me, especially because I'm doing this. He doesn't get the chance to see Raw right? Like all the time because it ends later and it's a school night and whatnot. And he loves Jey Uso. So when Jey Uso went with the second pick, I glanced over at him and I could see the disappointment on his face. And I was like, you wanted him to go to SmackDown, didn't you?
I love that though, Robin, because like when you're a kid and you're watching the draft, basically whoever your favorite wrestler is, like that's the person where you're like, okay, I can't wait to see where this person goes because that's the show that, you know, I'm going to be watching. And I remember that gutted. It's been such a long time since I've had that feeling. So, you know, being a kid and remembering those feelings, that's freaking awesome that he still has that, you know, that he can say, damn it, like he can actually have some emotion in this draft.
You know, well, he plays the 2K game and he does the GM mode a lot more than he does anything else. So there's a lot of drafting going on in our household. But he's very astute to the game, too. It didn't wind up this way, but when Nia Jax came out and attacked Bayley, he was like, fatal four-way at Backlash. You know,
so. I love that. That is so freaking cute. I think there's more changes going on in his GM mode than they probably went on here. But I do want to spend some time on the Carmelo Hayes thing because first of all, like that was my pick that I thought was going to be like the biggest surprise. And so I was very happy that it happened right away that Carmelo Hayes was called up during this. And the reason why, so there was a couple of things that I loved in this. So first of all, I love that the second he came out, there was whoop that Trick signs, chance, because of his whole feud with Trick Williams. And I was like, hell yeah. When something that happens on NXT resonates and crosses over to the main roster, like that within itself is pretty huge. But the fact that he went out there and he challenged Cody freaking Rhodes, like what? The fact that that even happened and that we ended up getting this match to me kind of just showed that they really do have a lot of faith in Carmelo Hayes, you know, and the match itself was fine. Of course, Carmelo Hayes wasn't going to win, but it really did. It made things feel like a big deal.
Twofold. I mean, one, the position in which he was drafted, they could have drafted him and it would have been like, oh, okay, Carmelo Hayes is there. They drafted him right off the top of the thing, basically. And then, yeah, he comes out and has that little showdown with Cody that set up the main event, which was a nice touch, again, and a nice level of elevation because he didn't just show up to SmackDown and challenge Karrion Kross. No offense to Karrion Kross. I liked his little promo tonight, but he was the first one I could pull up in my head as a reference point versus going up against, you know, Cody Rhodes, who's now got the strap.
Yeah, man. Oh, and speaking of Jey Uso and your son being a fan, I'm going to be real with you guys. I was not expecting Jey Uso to be the first draft pick for Raw. I know Seth Rollins was, you know, said right afterwards for Raw, but I'm like, I would have swapped those two because that's your former champion. And of course, I know that Seth Rollins is injured right now, but still, that is your former world heavyweight champion. Like, in my opinion, I would have drafted him like first. So for Jey Uso to be first, honestly, did catch me by surprise.
But you hear the crowd every time, right? I mean, Triple H had to acknowledge it. He's like, "Eat," you know, that is a real thing. And with all those other people absent, and especially if Seth's out for a minute, and we don't know exactly what role he'll play when he comes back, you needed a babyface over there with Cody now. SmackDown is stacked. SmackDown is stacked, and Jey Uso, this is his chance. Him and Jimmy kind of blew it at WrestleMania with their match. It did not live up to expectations. It was perhaps the worst match on the entire card. Probably was the worst match on the entire card, which sucks to say because these guys have been talking about how that's their dream forever, but it did not work out. His reaction, though, did. His reaction continues, and now he's got a chance. He's got a chance to be main event Jey Uso. Before we wind up with this Bloodline Collides thing that is definitely been foreshadowed and we've talked about and is coming at some point, and I think it, you know, an eventual Usos reunion, this is going to be the opportunity for Jey Uso to see if he can take that ball into the end zone because they gave it to him.
Really? No, but you bring up a good point because that has been, you know, the nickname that he's garnered, yet we haven't actually, while we've seen him in some main events, he hasn't had like that big crowning moment. So I feel like even them just announcing him as the first pick was, of course, a surprise, but it might just be foreshadowing the plans that they might have for him over on the Raw side of things, right? So I'm hoping that that's what it is, because if not, I was a little surprised by this. But that was the first round. The second round draft picks, we had SmackDown draft Randy as well as Nia Jax. So Nia Jax was one of the changes because she was over on Raw and now she's moving over to SmackDown. And then for Raw, we had Bron Breakker and Liv Morgan. So here's my big gripe on this, Robin, and I'm going to start with this right away here. My big gripe here was that Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis kind of looks a little silly right now because over on SmackDown a couple of months ago, weeks ago, whatever, they spent, so when was it? So Bron Breakker was on SmackDown from February 16th through April 26th. That is a total of 70 days. He only spent 70 days on the brand, which sounds longer, but when you think about it, there was only a couple of SmackDowns in there, of course. But with that being said, they spent weeks between Raw and SmackDown, both GMs arguing and begging and doing everything they could to get Bron Breakker onto their brand, Robin. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you worked this hard as a GM to get this guy on your brand, and not only that, but he's been squashing and killing everybody each and every single week, why the hell did you wait so long to draft them and keep them on your show? Like, if anybody would have made sense to stay on a show, it was Bron Breakker to SmackDown. So I kind of felt that they made SmackDown look a little dumb in this by not drafting Bron Breakker right away. But at the same time, at least it was a change. At least this was a surprise.
Bron Breakker needs to be on WWE speed. You know, Denise, I think you're probably paying a little bit more attention and evaluating these GMs with a bit of a finer tooth comb than most of the observers here. But I hear you, and there is a logical hole there. But I think going back to what I was saying before, that's part of the reason for that, because in my opinion, SmackDown has a lot of stars. So they're going to need to, if they want to elevate Bron Breakker, he could get lost in the shuffle over there. Versus on Raw, maybe that's where they're going to really work him into, because he hasn't had that program yet. He's just had those squash matches and the spears and the rahs and all that stuff. Maybe on Raw is when we'll see him actually get involved in something that makes you care beyond, you know, he's cool to watch.
And he did have one of those squash matches today against Cedric Alexander. And this one was pretty cool because Cedric was like in the middle of the, like he was ready to like hit, you know, to hit his move, right? He's like mid air there. And then freaking Bron Breakker just comes in and spears the living life out of him. I thought that was really freaking cool. And we'll talk more about what kind of happened there, but that was sort of for the second round. That was the big one. Nia Jax also made her mark by attacking Bayley. During, we'll talk about the women's match later, but Nia Jax is also making her mark here too, already on the SmackDown roster.
I'm a fan of Nia Jax, and I thought that was a good pickup for them. You know, Nia Jax, there's something to be said for just the physical presence, right? Like, you know, that's gone back to the history of professional wrestling, to the territory days when they were touring Andre the Giant around. And yeah, okay, you know, acts like the great Khalil and Omos maybe haven't played perfectly at times, but there's a reason they have a certain level of spectacle, and Nia Jax brings that big physical presence. In fact, going back to Raw and the Battle Royal, I actually liked Becky Lynch winning it because I think it makes it a more of a mountain for whoever to overcome, you know, versus like, let's say Liv Morgan had won. It's not as much of a moment as if she beats Becky Lynch, and then you get Liv Morgan fans mad online and you keep this thing going. But if it wasn't going to be Becky Lynch, I thought it should have been Nia Jax. So this then makes sense to me that she's coming over to SmackDown and going right for Bayley. And that title picture is all of a sudden very interesting because you've had this subplot going on with Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton's obviously on the come up. Now you're throwing Nia Jax into the mix on a brand that Bianca Belair is already on. So that to me is pretty compelling.
I love that you brought up that point, the whole thing about Becky Lynch and Nia Jax, because yeah, like again, you got to switch some people around and get some fresh programs because I know that there's probably still a lot more to do there with Liv Morgan, with Becky Lynch, and they're going to remain on the same brand, but I didn't want to see Becky Lynch and Nia Jax anymore, Robin. I was done with that program. I felt like, oh my God, it went from a match that we were waiting to see to a match that we saw way too much. So I was very happy to see that Nia Jax got drafted over to SmackDown because I'm like, okay, good. Like, this is going to give us a break from that, especially given how similar Raw and SmackDown are both remaining. So let's go ahead and jump into round three. So round three, we saw SmackDown take LA Knight Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. And Raw, Ricochet and Sheamus. In this round, Sheamus was the only one that changed brands here. So there's some good stuff, and for the most part, at least we know the bloodline staying on SmackDown.
And that was one of the best parts of SmackDown again. You know, to me, that whole sequence was really cool, where you could get the Paul Heyman fear again. Solo Sikoa shows up, Tama Tonga's flanking him, Kevin Owens comes out, and it's later that they spill out, right, on that continuous shot down the ramp to keep that going before the Randy Orton pop out. And I'm thinking, okay, is it Kevin Owens, Randy Orton against Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa with the debut of Jacob Fatu to come in the midst of that match, which is, I think, what's going to happen. But the bloodline, I don't know how many different ways to say it. It remains just as, somehow it's still compelling. And Solo Sikoa is, he's killing it. He's killing it. Credit to Solo Sikoa, the gloves, the all black, the stare, the delivery. I didn't know he was capable of it. Maybe, you know, did he just learn it? Was he waiting? Did he get his Jedi lessons at some point, his bloodline Jedi lessons? I don't know what happened, but he has answered the bell. And you know, personally, especially because we're doing this, I'm very happy to see the bloodline remain on SmackDown.
Me too, because you need that. I feel like there are some people that just belong on a certain brand. Maybe it's because that's what we're used to, and you know, we hate change sometimes. But truthfully, I feel like the bloodline is what SmackDown is. Like, SmackDown is the bloodline. The bloodline is SmackDown. And so those just feel too intertwined together that at this point, it would kind of be weird seeing it over on Raw. But let's be honest, if we did see the bloodline get drafted over to Raw, it would have been a huge surprise, because again, we connect SmackDown with the bloodline and the bloodline with SmackDown so freaking often. So anyways, I am happy to see Sheamus go over to Raw. I thought that one was good too. And then everything else is just the same. So there's not much else to add there. So let's go ahead and get into round four. And for round four, we saw SmackDown draft AJ Styles and Andrade, which was another change, Andrade. And then Raw had Chad Gable, Otis, Maxine, Akira Tozawa, and an NXT call-up in Kiana James. So let's get right to that. Kiana James. So there are a lot of women over on NXT. Obviously, I cover NXT on a weekly basis. People know that. And the NXT women's division, it's my absolute favorite, Robin. It's my favorite. I love the division. I love all the women in it. With that being said, I think if you would have asked me, name the top three girls that you would have thought when we're going to get called up in this draft, I would probably have named Roxanne Perez. I don't think, because I know Champion stay as is, but I think that's just for Raw and SmackDown. So I do think they could have drafted Roxanne, but it would have been Roxanne, Lyra, maybe Fallon Henley. Kiana James probably wouldn't have been my top three in terms of the names of the girls to get drafted, but when she did get drafted, I was so happy, because I do feel like Kiana, the best thing about her is that from the very beginning, she has gotten her character down. Like, she got the character worked so fast. I feel like there are some people that struggle with that, right? Like, there's some people that are just stronger on the wrestling side, and there are some people that are stronger on the character side, and the ones that are blessed are strong on both. But Kiana James is she's pretty good, but she is, to me, stronger on the character side. And I think she's a really good heel. Like, I buy her as a heel very easily. And I feel like that is going to be something that I want to see how that plays out over on the main roster, over on Raw. And so to see more of these women get called up on NXT, like, I want to see more. I hope more names get called up over on Raw, because I do think that they have so many to go with. So again, I wasn't expecting Kiana James, but I was pleasantly surprised when she got drafted.
You sound like a proud mom, you know?
Yeah, I am. I'm sort of like, even doing, like, touching my chest, touching my heart.
Oh, my dear. Like, yeah. You know, but
Wait till Roxanne gets called up. I might shed a little tear.
But that shows you that what they've done with NXT is really working, right? Because that was the impetus for it. That was the origin story for NXT to be the developmental brand, to get you attached to the stars before they get called up to the main roster. And those were probably, you know, the two picks that got noticed the most, other than Nia Jax being the one switch, but the NXT pick. So they're clearly trying to also establish it I don't know if you want to say on equal footing, but on more footing than, you know, the minor leagues, like on a step up above that, at least, you know, the AAA level. And you can tell by your reaction. And obviously you cover this, you know, closer than essentially anyone, maybe more closer than anyone on planet Earth. There's a case to be made. You cover this closer than anybody on planet Earth. And as far as your reaction, I think that's exactly what you're trying to get from the fan base in the broad sense. And then once you narrow in to the, or I guess not even the broad sense, in the more focused sense. And then in the broad sense, when she does get on that brand, you're trying to attract the new fans.
Yes. So with that being said, there were 16 picks today, 4 rounds. Out of the 16 picks, only 4 people changed brands and then the 2 call-ups. So that was sort of where we're at if we're doing the math around here. So overall, I will say that I feel like this draft wasn't that strong, but of course, I'm expecting Raw to be a little bit more entertaining. So I hope it will be. But again, happy for Carmelo Hayes, happy for Kiana James. Now, with that being said, there were some names, Robin, that were eligible to be drafted. And as of right now, because sometimes they do a social media bit, right, where all of a sudden WWE decides to draft some people on social media and then you find out about it the next morning or whatever. So as of right now, I haven't seen anything just yet, but there were some people that were eligible that had not been drafted just yet. And those people are Ivar, Shayna, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, Zoe Stark, The OC were some of those names. Any of these surprise you? Like, hey, I would have freaking gone with them right away or something.
No, I
mean, you're like, no, not really.
I think the picks that they got, I would have taken everybody before them at this point.
Yeah, probably. And like, Ivar's doing really great, but would I have replaced anybody else? Probably not. And then, of course, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, really love them a whole lot, and Zoe. But would I have replaced them over somebody else? No. The OC, I feel bad, but it's very obvious that they do not really care about the OC at all. So there you go. That was the 4 rounds of the draft. Now, we do got some super chats in here, so I want to get people's thoughts into all of this. And if you guys have any questions or anything that we didn't bring up that you want to bring up, let's get to it. So first and foremost, thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships, keeping the streak alive. We got Steven here who says, I'm away from Texas and in state of Indiana at the moment. I got to show some love as not many shakeups as I thought tonight. Happy for Trick and Kiana. Thank you so much, Steven. And yeah, we're pretty much on the same boat. We got Ice-T here who says, Carlito in the hallway with a trash bin. It was Carlito all along. Now that's sensational security cam footage. The security cam footage thing, it's going to be a bit for like the rest of our wrestling fandom lives, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Nobody feared for their life, though.
I mean, maybe except for Dragon Lee.
I actually like that, though. I liked almost everything about that because, one, Carlito did a great job acting. Like, it was like, no, that wasn't. He was going to try
when
to pull
that. He ran out of the ring. Yeah. When he ran out of the ring, that shit was hilarious because he had the, oh, my God, I just got caught stealing. I got to go run.
But first, know? He was going to try to pull, like, don't believe what you just saw, you know, that kind of thing. No, it wasn't me cheating on you when you walked in. That was something else, an optical illusion. But Carlito needed a change. It hasn't – ever since he came out in the Bad Bunny match, it hasn't been the same for him. He hasn't captured that same energy, so he needed that shake-up.
The boat hasn't been rocked. He's not rocking the boat around here so far. And the one thing that I loved about this, and this was something that I did not forget, and people that have watched my SmackDown review for a long time know this, is that my favorite thing about this, so how this all worked out, by the way, for this particular story, was that we had Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee defeat Angel, and I guess, by the way, they changed Umberto's name to just Berto. He's no longer Umberto. Like, what? I guess it was too complicated to say. Who knows? Well, anyways, they defeated them. But after this, Santos came out and basically revealed the camera footage that Carlito was the one behind the attack of Dragon Lee. Okay. So when Carlito bounces, whatever. My favorite thing about this, Robin, mm-hmm. was that when Crown Jewel happened last year, when it was that match between Rey Mysterio and Logan Paul, and Santos Escobar was the one that left the brass knuckles there that Logan Paul ended up using and ended up costing Rey Mysterio his match. The one that snitched on Santos when that happened was freaking Carlito. So to me, this was revenge snitching because Santos then revealed that he was the one who attacked Dragon Lee. So I love this. I'm like, I don't even know if they did that on purpose, but I'm happy that this was revenge snitching.
And now Dragon Lee can return with Cry Me a River written on his mask.
You never know. Hey, you never know. Maybe he could put it in Spanish.
How do you say it in Spanish?
So it'd be, how do you say river in Spanish? Actually, I don't know how to say river in Spanish.
Puede something?
Wait, hold on. I've never used river in Spanish. Rio. Oh, yeah, Rio. Duh. Llorame un río. It'd be llorame un río.
Mm. Yo hablo español un poco.
Not too bad, honestly. It's not too bad. I don't know why I just forgot Rio. I don't. So I used to basically talk Spanish every day when I lived with my grandparents. But now that, you know, I moved out, I don't get to flex my Spanish muscle as much as I used to before. So I got a little rusty. All right. So Simon Renshaw here, who's been a member of the DWO for 14 months, says the draft felt underwhelming. I agree, my friend. It was not that sensational was not. John Black says, congrats to the University of Tennessee's volunteers, own EST of WWE, Bianca Belair, the mayor of Knox County, Kane, and I are proud GBO. Proud of Bianca as well, man. We got Kevin Zwicker here who says, hey guys, Ray is the worst friend picker ever.
Yeah, at some point, he's the problem. You know, Rey Mysterio is the problem. We gotta admit it. You know, his son is alienated from him. You got all this going on. Maybe there's something we don't know about Mr. Mysterio.
So many years. And this is always happening to Ray. I think he needs to, you know how they say like some people are really good at reading other people? Mm-hmm. Ray Mysterio is not that person.
You know, it's sort of ironic because I feel like Rey Mysterio, like by a Q rating, might be the most universally beloved wrestler of all time. Like, have you ever met anybody who's like, no, I don't like Rey Mysterio. I'm not rocking with Rey Mysterio.
Like, if you hate Rey Mysterio, you're the problem.
Yeah, but everybody he's ever encountered in the world within the confines of the business has turned on him.
Yes, exactly. I guess that's the rounding bit now. Malcolm Kobe says, Bianca being the number one solidifies that she's the company's number one woman. I love that, actually. But you have to also think of the champions, right? Because to me, if you're going to say who's the number one woman in WWE, I would say it's Becky Lynch.
It's Rhea Ripley.
Oh, you would say it's Rhea Ripley.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think it's...
I would go with Becky Lynch.
No, I think Rhea Ripley, I think, oh, as a whole?
It's yeah, like as a whole.
Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Rhea Ripley are the three biggest stars in the company.
You think Rhea Ripley is right now a bigger star than Becky Lynch?
I do, yeah.
Really? I think she's more popular right now in terms of like the interest because, you know, Becky Lynch has been getting like a lot of hate lately, which I don't think she's warranted any of that hate, by the way. I think it just happens sometimes when people are constantly at the top. I mean, it happened to Charlotte Flair. Now it's happening to Becky Lynch. At some point, it'll probably happen down the line to Rhea Ripley. Who the hell knows, right? But I feel like because of everything that Becky Lynch has been able to do, like not just in WWE, like all of her accolades, but also with like outside of the company, like she's doing all of these appearances, you know, she wrote a book. So to me, I kind of see her more so, and she's done more media than Rhea. So because of all of those like outside factors, that's why I still see Becky Lynch as like the creme de la creme at the top right now for the women, again, because she's been it, seen it, been there, done that.
She has more accolades, don't get me wrong. And Becky Lynch is as close to a Stone Cold Steve Austin as the women's division has had, you know, with the man, you know, phenomenon that took place. And she's on the Mount Rushmore of women's wrestlers of all time in the argument for the GOAT, I think, alongside Charlotte Flair and Trish Stratus and, you know, Lita and great ladies like that. So she's right there in that mix. But at this moment in time, and some of the hate she's getting, by the way, Liv Morgan fans love to cry online. It's kind of endearing and annoying at the same time. But when you look at Rhea Ripley, she is a super duper star. First of all, any content I post about her always picks me up subscribers.
People are like, he's putting Rhea on our timeline. Yeah, subscribe.
Bookmark.
Then bookmarks for reals.
But when you're just talking about like right now, Rhea Ripley is I think she crushes everybody. I think she's bigger than Becky. I think she's bigger than Bianca. I think she's bigger than Charlotte. I think she is the biggest female star in the company. And as on almost at the same level, if not on par with Cody and to a lesser degree, Roman.
So who would you say is second then? To Rhea.
Right now? Probably Bianca.
Interesting.
With Jade on the cup. By the way, you used the term ooh la la last week. There was an ooh la la moment upon the entry of Bianca and Jade.
Did you notice, and to everybody here, did you guys notice the camera work for that segment, by the way, when we saw the Kabuki Warriors confront Bianca and Jade?
Oh, that's when Kevin Owens came back out, right?
Yes.
Not
that camera
work. Oh, the
other camera work. You noticed it, right?
I certainly noticed. The cinematography is what I would, I really want to applaud that.
I'm just saying, like, it was the
line producing, all that was great.
Maybe, I don't know if I highly doubt we're reading too much into that. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, you have already two angles that you can go with, right? You can go from the stage looking to the ring and from the ring to the stage, right? And that would have gotten the shot of both of them. Instead, they did the back shot of Bianca and Jade. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it at that, ladies.
Wait, I mean, just I'm not even going to repeat what you said, but there were Bianca and Jade. Yeah, there was three, I guess it's one word, like, if your technical terms, if you're saying the camera back shot, is that one or two words?
Yes. Two back shots. We technically got two back shots.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who would run that back shot.
But it was hard not to notice. It was definitely hard not to notice. Like, even I noticed, and I don't usually notice this stuff, but I've been paying more attention. I've been trying to be more cognizant of that, because the last time that that they had Bianca and Jade out there, it was the thing of, like, everybody was texting me, right? Like, all my male friends were texting me. And I tend to have more male friends. It just happens that way because of the business that I'm in. And so... everybody was like, oh my God, did you see that? Did you see that? And I'm like, why would you send me that? Like, why would you think that I would see that? You know? So I was like, I don't know what you guys think of me, but so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be more aware of that. And I don't know if it was because I was being more aware of that I actually noticed that shot today.
Well, Jade is like, she just has this aura. I mean, I can't even, it's every time she steps in, and they know it, they realize it, and putting her with, Bianca is really smart. I think we touched on this last week. They need it to be slow build. Like the slow pans of the camera. They need to be a slow build before they eventually blow up and feud. But I think Jade is good. You know, it's Rhea. And if you're telling me who I think is going to be on that level next, I think it's going to be Jade.
Interesting. Yeah, but I do think that Bianca, like, to me, like, if you're asking me right now who my favorite woman on, going back to Malcolm Kobe's tweet, if you're going to ask me right now who my favorite female wrestler is on the whole company of WWE, it's Bianca for me. Like, Bianca to me is number one. And I just think that, I don't know, I really love Bianca. So she's number one for me in terms of my favorite women's wrestler at the moment. But in terms of who I recognize as the biggest star in the company for the women, it's still Becky Lynch for me.
So you're putting Rhea Ripley third?
No, not in terms of, like the face of the company. I would put Becky for sure at number one. And then I would put Rhea at number two. In terms of in-ring wise, I put Bianca number one. I don't know who I would put number two, actually. That one's sort of debatable for me. I'm maybe Bayley or Charlotte, because I really like both of them a whole lot in-ring wise. I would put them on that list. And then there's the, I don't know, like, I'm out here categorizing everything. I'm not going to get into all of that. But you know what I mean, though. So that's where I'm at. All right, we got Sheldon Jackson here who says, look at Swerve setting the example of world champs competing on TV. Wins world title on a Sunday and competes that Wednesday on TV. Cody and Priest win world titles and don't compete on TV for almost a month. We'll see. And that was happening a lot, though, in AEW as well. Like, we got very few matches for Samoa Joe as champion. Remember when MJF was champion? We got kind of... well, we technically got a lot of more tag team matches for MJF, I feel. But I do think it's more so of a, specifically for Priest, I feel like Priest, given that was Seth Rollins' belt before, and that was the workhorse championship belt, I feel like they need to keep that going.
Well, and also, though, there, you have to take into account the circumstances, right? Because in the case of Damian Priest, you had the Rhea Ripley thing happen with her injury, which all of a sudden puts him in a different plane. And you have to decide exactly how you're going to deal with the ramifications and the ripple effects of stuff like that. And then there's also something to be said for making the championship defenses matter. You know, they matter more if they're a little bit more infrequent. You don't want them to never happen. But, I mean, I'll use the Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles match as an example. I think most wrestling fans are looking forward to the match itself, but I don't think anybody has the outcome in doubt, just like you didn't have the outcome in doubt with Carmelo Hayes. So if you overdo the number of matches you wind up having and the outcome is never in doubt as to what's going to happen, what is that actually accomplishing from a storyline and a drama and a narrative purpose?
Right. And I think also for me, like, the big difference is, like, there's a lot of differences between AEW and WWE and how they present their championships, because I feel like I see WWE is trying to present more of their stars. They try to present their champions, you know, as, you know, at these larger than life stars. Right. And so they sort of keep things rare for them. Right. It was different for Seth Rollins. That was a whole different story there. He was just a different kind of a champion. And so I feel like that's what they tried to do. And then over on AEW, I don't know. It's different. I feel like it's been a little bit different for each champion. Every champion, there's been some that have been going out there. Like, look at Jon Moxley. God, that guy wrestled like a ton of matches when he was champion. And then we didn't get as many for Samoa Joe, but maybe because it was his championship reign was smaller. But you know, so we're 1 week in and Swerve's already wrestling. So that's good. I do like that. And I'm pretty sure they're going to keep that going.
Well, that's also a difference in presentation between AEW and WWE and some of, you know, the fans that they appeal to. And that's okay. You know, like one of the things, you know, AEW has always based itself and its appeal on like work rate and appealing to the wrestling fan. And they've also tried to present themselves as more of a sports centric product. Like if you go back and you watch the, I'm always dyslexic trying to say his name, Danielson.
Bryan Danielson.
and Will Ospreay match. I felt like I was watching an MMA or a boxing match, listening to the commentary on that match. And that's part of AEW's presentation, and that's part of what they appeal to. Now, sometimes they're not always as consistent, like, and you see the complaints, why is Mercedes Moné getting a title shot when she just showed up? We all know why. That's more of a WWE star power thing. And then they're trying to work in the WWE style angles, which you saw as they ended Dynamite the other night. But WWE has always presented itself in more of, you know, they get the wrestling in, but I don't want to use the term sports entertainment because that's sort of taboo, especially on the internet. But in a sense, it's just packaged a little bit differently. It's the same thing packaged a little bit differently. And with WWE, you know, a lot of the storytelling, a lot of the production, a lot of the spectacle and all that takes precedence to just let's have these people in a match every week.
Right. Exactly. The presentation there is different. We got Steven here who says, I mean, Carmelo, blasted Eastern time zone. Oh, thank you. This was for his previous super chat. Thank you so much, Steven. We got Jana here who says, do you think they'll do something with Nia Jax and the Bloodline? I know fans have talked about this possibility before. Definitely a possibility. It would be new for Nia Jax. I think it would be sort of, it would be a little bit more refreshing, but at the same time, I mean, it could work. It could work because I feel like Nia Jax, you know, she's not, the fans love to boo Nia Jax, right? She's not that popular with the fans. So it can work, especially given that right now the Bloodline, you know, they're a heel faction. They're a heel faction. That's what they've been.
So I don't think either party needs it right now. I thought what they did with Nia Jax worked tonight. I mean, it felt fresh and new to see her come out, even though she's done the same thing on Raw, right? Like she's come out and attacked somebody, whether it was Rhea Ripley or Becky Lynch. It's the same script, but because you saw her do it to Bayley, it felt fresh and different. So I like that, and we already know the Bloodline have another one waiting in the wings. It's just a matter of when they spring that on us. So for me, I'm keeping them separate as of right now. I see people saying Nia. I disagree with the people who say Nia is horrible. I don't care what anybody says. I think she's gotten better for one. And two, again, this is part of, it's not all about, you know, is she having a five-star match every week? When you see Nia Jax come out and throw somebody into the pole, you believe that Nia Jax came out and threw somebody into the pole.
I get what you're saying. I feel because I'm more so on the, yes, she's definitely improved, but I'm just not that big of a fan. Like, I haven't had that win me over moment, you know? And so for me, it's like, okay, if she were to join the Bloodline, sure. Would it be like my thing? Would I jump up and joy? Probably not. But I'm like, I guess if maybe it'll bring some interest. But then at the same time, I'm like, I love the Bloodline so much. Do I want to see Nia Jax in it? Kind of a no. So it's like, yeah, it would be different and it might make things sort of interesting on her end of things. But then part of me is like, would I personally want to see it? The answer is no.
That's okay. We differ on this. It's not about me. We don't necessarily differ on the Bloodline, but we might differ on our opinion on Nia Jax a little bit. And that's, you know, perfectly fine.
I would actually prefer it. Like, you know, I would love to see, I don't even know. But for me, it's just, like you said, the Bloodline is sort of fine doing their things. I don't think anyone's sitting here going, we must need Nia Jax in the Bloodline, you know?
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought of it. I mean, to be honest.
I really had it until Jana brought it up right now.
Yeah. And then how does the Bloodline, like, could Naomi be in the Bloodline?
Were to say, who would you prefer, Naomi or Nia Jax? I would say Naomi 1,000 times.
Bloodline in law? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that counts. You married in the family. You're part of the Bloodline now. It's how it works, right? You married, you're in.
Rock and Roman aren't related anyway.
There you go. Sheldon Jackson sends in a generous super chat saying, April 2024 has seen so many title changes in pro wrestling. The World Heavyweight Championship, World and WWE Tag, WWE, IC, NXT, NXT Tag, NXT Women's, Ring of Honor World, TBS, AW World, IWGP World, New Japan Strong Tag, New Japan Strong TV Title. Damn. Bro, I couldn't even decipher all those belts right now. I just heard belt, 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 belt.
Straps on, I love straps that. On straps on straps. Yeah.
I know, literally. He here says, Carmelo's number one pick gets the main event against the champ. Swerve AEW champ gets buried by the EVPs and Jungle Jack on AEW. Punk is right about AEW versus WWE. AEW and its fans are on a different business. Like, I know, it's funny to me because, like, to me, I think there were some people that were already sort of complaining about some of the booking that there was with Swerve, but I think they've got some, it's 1 week. It's literally been 1 week since he became champion. So for me, it's still too early to judge that. And I saw it more as a positive with Sheldon saying that, you know, he's out there and already week one, he's wrestling against Kyle Fletcher. And what was a really fun match, and minus the audio issues, I had a great time with the in-ring portion of it all.
Yeah, where he was positioned, I think people are being ridiculous about that. If you want to make a complaint about it, I think, you know, it's a matter of time before Ospreay wins it from the reading of the tea leaves. So I think that could be your complaint. And look, whatever you think about AEW or whatnot and what they're doing right now, they just got more attention than they've gotten. The Tony Khan, I made a joke about it at the top. The Tony Khan thing in the neck brace was covered by the NFL. The NFL, people forget probably how much of a monster the NFL is, but the NFL puts all the other sports leagues as bugs on its windshield. You know, when you look at the television ratings and whatever, so for AEW to get that look on national TV, have it talked about it in lead up to the NFL draft, Tony Khan in the neck brace in the NFL draft. Now, what he said today, that's going to stir things up, and it's hard to then say, you know, you got to love all wrestling and don't be tribalistic when you go out and say the stuff that he said. But as far as garnering attention, whether you love the
attention has
not,
been garnered. Yes.
It was effective in that regard.
Yeah. And I keep thinking, like, you know, my husband, he's a big, big sports fan, especially with the NFL. Like, that's his thing, right? Like, that's his pro wrestling. That's his Taylor Swift. It's the NFL. Like, he loves football. So I pick up things here and there because of it. But, you know, he was telling me how, like, you know, I think he said like 50 something million people tuned in for last year's draft. I don't know what the rating was for this year, but I'm thinking to myself, like, shit, like, all those millions and millions of people literally just heard about AEW yesterday. Like, that's nuts.
It's probably the most attention they've ever gotten. I mean, I think CM Punk's debut there, you know, was a huge moment because of where he was in wrestling history. And then, but just from the casual, let me put it this way. There were a lot of people who found out what AEW was in the last couple of days who, you know, there's no disrespect to anybody. It just, you know, that wasn't in their purview. And they saw it and they're like, what is this? They hear it at least mentioned. Maybe it rings a bell. And then Tony Khan used that platform to throw shots at you know, throw rocks at the throne. We'll see how that works out for him. But it certainly did work out for him as far as getting his face and his brace out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely got the name of AEW out there. So that's exciting. We got Stephen Martulli who here who says, if Breakers going to Raw leads to a Gunther program, Stephen, from your words to God's ears, that I would love to see that. Would love to see that. Oh, but technically, we don't know where Gunther is going to go because he's not a champion anymore. So he's no longer going to protect it on the Raw brand. So he could be switching brands. We do not know. Chloe Adams says, wonder what would happen to Izzy since Kiana's draft. Oh, yeah. Izzy Dame. I don't know, but she'll figure something out. Like, NXT is really good at, like, finding something for the talent to do and finding characters and storylines for people. Steven here says, Nia to SmackDown means joining the bloodline? We just covered that. Thank you so much, Steven, for the super chat. Appreciate it, man. We got Mike Parker here with a very generous super chat. Says, Ray is the modern day Dusty Rhodes or Hulk Hogan in that all his friends turn on him. We'll take that, man. Dream Ninja says 100% it's Rhea. She transcends heel and face. So interesting thoughts there. Thank you so much to Dream Ninja. We got Ice T here who says Roman equals Batman, Cody equals Superman, Rhea equals Wonder Woman. They are the trinity of WWE right now. 55K stadium sellout in Australia. I'm with Robin. So we got two people already here that sent in super chats for Rhea Ripley being the top woman. It's very interesting. Rafael Garcia says, I'm going to call it now. With Andrade on the same brand as his brother, we're getting the LDF and Los Ingobernables. That's the role of the Latin factions. They must fight. We'll see how they keep this going. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I'm excited about it all. M. Durrett says, Bianca's definitely the number one woman. Rhea is just the hottest girl right now, but she is ascending. Becky is starting to reach Charlotte levels in terms of feeling overpushed at the top. See, that's what I hate, though. We never say this. Do we say this that often?
They didn't say Becky Hogan. Hogan, you're referencing Hulk Hogan. So in a sense, yes, it has been said about the men before.
Yeah, but it's Hogan. Everybody's always, this is Hogan. Like, I'm talking about like the other guys. Like, let's talk about the other guys.
It's unfortunate because those are the legends of the game, right?
Like, yeah, you got to respect them. Exactly.
You know, Charlotte Flair has put on so many classics and Becky Lynch, you know.
Oh, sorry. Literally just last year. I mean, we're sitting here, WrestleMania 39, Charlotte versus Rhea. The year before that, Bianca versus Becky. Like, these girls are working their asses off, man. Like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't like the hate for Charlotte when it happened, and I don't like it for Becky either. Like, I'm not here for any of that because they have worked their asses off, man. So, I don't know. It's interesting.
Maybe Roman got it a little bit from people who said, but
Roman was different. Roman's situation was also of like the thing of everyone just like really loved to boot him. They hated him because he was Vince's guy and everyone knew he was Vince's guy. So people like hated that. You know,
John Cena also got it.
But see, think about this though. What about recent guys? Recent names.
I mean, Roman's the closest I can think of, but I think you're right. It wasn't ever like go away kind of deal.
I feel like it's just that, I don't know what it is.
But we're in agreement. We can argue over the semantics and the differences in the comparisons.
Right, right.
I'm in agreement with the general sentiment that Becky Lynch has done too much for even going to NXT and doing what she did. Like, people are forgetting
that's respect right there, man.
That
respect
just happened, right? Like, so. She does not deserve to be disrespected like this. Also, you got to remember, the Rhea Ripley thing was unplanned. You know, Rhea Ripley beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. She was supposed to continue her championship reign. Who knew when it was actually going to end? They had to pivot on the fly. And I maintain that giving it to Becky Lynch was the right decision. I would have given it to Becky or Nia Jax, but the logic for giving it to Becky Lynch is very sound. One, she's dependable. Two, she didn't need a moment, right? So her winning the Battle Royal was like, okay, there's another championship for Becky Lynch. Versus some of the other women, if they had won the Battle Royal, yeah, they would have won the championship, but it wouldn't have felt like a moment. Now they can go beat Becky Lynch, and it feels like a moment because of who they
beat. Right, because she's Becky Lynch. Exactly. So like that's why people are like, okay, like I get it. Like, oh yeah, Becky Lynch, you don't want to see her at the champion again. But like that is a champion that if someone like Liv Morgan defeats Becky Lynch or whoever, it's going to be like, oh shit, what a big deal. For example, when Rhea Ripley defeated Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, it was a big deal because of who she defeated and that it was Becky Lynch. So for me, anyways, I think sometimes people forget, like you can love more than one person is what I'm saying. Like you can love Rhea and you can love all these other people that are on top and also like respect the people at the top. So anyways, there's been a lot more hate for Becky and I'm just not here for it. I'm not here for it. We got Ice-T here who says 636K viewers for the Tony Khan Driver AEW show. You can only go up from the all-time lowest Dynamite rating. You AEW fans are right. All-time low ratings on ticket sales could get worse. Could they? Question mark. So also AEW definitely expected the slow rating for this particular week with everything going on in the world of sports. Robin, you're the sports guy. Like, tell us what the hell, everything that they were going up against.
Well, obviously you had the, you know, NBA playoffs that's going on right now. We'll see how the NFL draft affects SmackDown and the like. The reason this gets brought up, though, you know, I think it's a couple reasons. Because you could go back and look, since WrestleMania, some of the WWE numbers have gone down a little bit. I believe they're up year over year, and I believe they're still doing very well in the demo. But it's not talked about the same way because of the discourse that's been created around AEW and in the internet wrestling community and everything. But I think the impetus for hyper-focusing on the ratings for AEW comes with showing that footage. Because that footage was shown and everybody then was like, how big did it pop their number? Was it going to hold? And people are watching it with a microscope and the like. The real thing that matters for AEW, one is they're a new company, relatively speaking. And considering that, they've done very well. But their media rights deal is what's going to tell the story. When they sign that media rights deal or not, or whatever it works out, that's going to give us an indication of where exactly they are and what foothold they have in the industry. But they seem to have generally, this was an abnormally low number. They generally have seemed to hit that consistent like 800,000, I think, every week or right around that number for a while now. But I think, you know, when you do bring attention to it like that and with the CM Punk thing and then Tony Khan saying the kind of stuff that he gets, you rile up people so then they go to try and dunk on you. And that's why you see the comments.
Right. So it's like it's more of they're under this magnifying glass is basically what it is. So it's almost like sometimes like I think, you know, when I see the arguments, right, people sort of disregard certain things. But again, because they are under that magnifying glass, because again, that tribalism is so, you know, it's out there. It's alive and well. And I did want to say one more thing. And now I just completely forgot what I was that I wanted to say. But and it was a really good show on Wednesday, by the way. I should add that it was a good show, minus the audio issues. It was a great show. Oh, yes. I remember what I was going to say now because you brought up the media rights thing. And the other big thing too that we still haven't gotten for AEW is they're still not on a streaming platform. They still don't have their library ups where someone can go and, you know, find out all this history about AEW. They still don't have that yet. So when that happens, that is also going to be a game changer for sure.
And beyond just the streaming of it, the pay-per-views. Because we're spoiled. Like, WWE having the entire catalog and all of the premium live events available for $5 a month.
Yeah, and then $5 or $10. What is it? $10 for commercial free, I think.
So, it makes it hard for people to then drop whatever, $50, whatever
bucks.
It is.
It's $50 for every AEW pay-per-view.
That's a hard sell. It needs to be bundled into something. Then you'll get more viewers just as a result of the ease of access and the lack of having to drop a separate payment on
and
it.
there's been one like almost every month at this point, honestly. So it's like they've gone up in pay-per-views, but we're still shelling out $50 every time. Oh man. We got another super chat here. This one's from M. Durrett, who says the reason it feels that way with Becky and Charlotte is because the other women only get flashes at the top, whereas the belts come back like boomerangs to Becky and Charlotte. But that's the thing though, they work for it. If you work for it, you're at the top.
And that's always been what's happened. I mean, that's where you point to the men's side of things. I mean, like, look at the champion. How many times has Randy Orton won? How many times has Roman Reigns won? How many times has John Cena won? How many times did Hulk Hogan win? How many, so on and so forth. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. The most effective, the biggest sellers, the ones, thank you for the house, as they say, right? Like, those are the people that are going to get the reins and going to get put into the prominent programs. And there's a reason, you know, you talked about sports. I've been covering this Caitlin Clark thing very closely as of late.
She's getting a lot of hate too, right? And yeah, she's elevating. She's going to change the WNBA.
She's already changed women's basketball forever. She's the Michael Jordan of women's basketball. And there's so many, there's all these complex factors that come into it. And we don't have time to get into the layers and the nuances of it, but people are out of their minds, you know, because they throw all these other variables in when, you know, I've followed basketball players my whole life. I'm not rooting for Caitlin Clark because she's a white girl. You know, my favorite athletes my whole life have been black players over time. Caitlin Clark is getting this attention because she's a hooper. I've played basketball my whole life. Real recognized real on that court. She's accomplished what she's accomplished. But most importantly, it's just about the metrics, right? It's just about the metrics. The WNBA draft did higher ratings than the last six WNBA drafts combined. The women's national championship game outrated the men's national championship.
I heard about that.
That's never happened. The ticket prices have doubled. They're moving arenas to accommodate the demand. Her jersey was the highest selling ever. Like, it's just, that's the obvious reason for the attention. And even Dawn Staley, who was the coach of South Carolina, and congratulations to them for winning the national championship, acknowledged, you know, that the chief reason for this explosion in the women's boom is Caitlin Clark. And you take that over to WWE, the people that get over, the people that sell, the people that rate are going to get the champ. Roman Reigns was not the champion for 3.5 years for no reason. Not because it was on some whim, because people were watching and tuned into SmackDown and followed it. Same thing goes with Becky Lynch. Same thing goes with Charlotte Flair. Same thing goes with John Cena. Same thing goes with The Rock. For people like, oh, The Rock is back. Why is he back? Because he's the freaking Rock. You know, like, and when you gotta, like, you have to sometimes deal with the realities of the situation.
Right. And it was like, I heard, and again, I'm not too knowledgeable on this, but I heard that, you know, some of the other female basketball players were like attacking Caitlin Clark. And I'm thinking to myself, do you guys not realize what she's doing for you guys? Like, she's going to change things and make things better. Like, people are always, you know, there, you know, there's always been this comparisons of how, you know, the women basketball players don't get the same luxuries that the men do. Right. And it's like, when you have somebody like Caitlin Clark and you're mentioning how, you know, they're going to bigger venues and all of these things, like, that's changing shit for all the women in the sport. So, like, I think they should all be applauding her, if you ask me.
Well, it's a rising tide lifts all boats, right? And you know, like, Angel Reese, too, like, that people try to polarize that. Let me just be clear. Like, Angel Reese is super charismatic. She's a star in her own right. She's not as good at basketball as Caitlin Clark is. She's very good. She's just not as good as Caitlin Clark, but she could star in a million commercials. She's super charismatic. The next generation, Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins, are all going to be elevated because of this. And let's be fair to the other ladies. Like, you know, it's one person says one thing, and then all of a sudden it's everybody saying this, right? Same thing with, like, you know, you get one critic online, one person writes an article, and then we all do the internet thing where we're like, I can't believe everybody's saying this.
literally.
Like, you know, the vocal minority, as they like to say.
Sometimes I was going to say sometimes it feels like the smaller crowd has a louder voice, right? And you start to think, oh, everyone thinks this. And in reality, it's not really the case. And we learn about that stuff. But okay, so I'm trying to think if there's anything else on SmackDown that we really need to get to here. So we did get Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi. And the big thing to take away from this is that we're getting this backlash match, Naomi versus Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton for the championship. Do we think that the title is already going to change hands or not yet?
I think not yet, because of the shenanigans that were at play here. Because I thought maybe, like, Tiffany Stratton was going to win and have that one-on-one match. And then, because I've said, you know, on this show for a few weeks now, I think eventually she's getting that championship. But because of what took place there. I don't know if we're going to see Nia Jax make an appearance again. I mean, it felt they set up the triple threat, right? Not the fatal four way. So is she going to interfere again and break all that up? I think there's more story to be told and more of a, you know, musical chairs sort of deal to happen here. And I don't think Bayley is losing the championship as a result of that.
Yeah, I was going to say it's too soon, too. I would kind of feel really bad for Bayley on that end. But all right. So those were really the big things. Of course, we did have the contract signing with Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. Not really much else to add about that. We know the match is happening at Backlash. And we kind of already talked about everything else. So that's basically SmackDown for today, night one of the draft. Before we go, just a friendly reminder to everybody that, of course, Robin and I are here each and every single Friday. So if you guys want to come hang out and talk SmackDown with us, we will be here. And then tomorrow I will be live to talk about both Collision and Rampage. So don't leave me hanging, guys. I'm covering a 3-hour show on a Saturday. So make sure you guys come through. And then on top of that, if you guys want to learn more about NXT, I'm live every Tuesday breaking that stuff down. And then Wednesdays, I'm here with Righteous Reg, where we talk about Dynamite, a very popular show. So make sure you guys tune in for that. And before we go, Robin, where can the people follow you and support you?
Yeah, no, Denise always links the YouTube below. My link tree is down there. So make sure you check out the YouTube channel. I've been doing a lot of that WNBA Caitlin Clark coverage. I do a lot of pro wrestling shorts and topic matter as well. And for those people in the chat, no, I'm not Chael Sonnen. I have interviewed him on many occasions, however, but I am not him. My name is Robin Lundberg. I hope you guys enjoy me on the show.
I'm just going to put Chael Sonnen next time on your little lower third. I'm going to cross out Robin.
I'm the baddest man in the world or baddest. I don't. He's got a lot of energy too, but we operate.
Hey, if you want to think it. That's hilarious. I love that. Oh yeah, so sorry, you were saying you guys can go check out all of Robin's stuff in the description box below.
Yeah, I'm the best.
That's And Denisha Lane says new draft picks. Did they announce stuff on social media? Let me check really quickly, because if they did, we might as well get into that before we wrap things up. So let me just make sure here. Someone said more draft on X. Okay, here we go. Okay, we got them, guys. Here we go. So check this out. We have gotten Cedric Alexander and Ashante the Adonis are going over to SmackDown. We have Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn drafted to Monday Night Raw. We have Baron Corbin has been drafted to SmackDown. He will not be on the same brand as his former buddy, Bron Breakker. So he's back on the main roster. And then Ivar will be remaining on Monday Night Raw. And then the OC are remaining on SmackDown. They will remain there. And Shayna Baszler will remain on Monday Night Raw. And Zoe Stark will also remain on Monday Night Raw. So there you go. Those were the last people that were eligible to be drafted, and they've officially been drafted. Honestly, the biggest surprise here is Baron Corbin going back to the main roster.
Yeah, he's been gone. You know, like absence makes the heart grow fonder. Not that people haven't been following on NXT, obviously, but I think there is a certain level of, oh, okay. You know, he's back. Is there something new with him now? Is there a new twist? What are they going to do with him? What do they have planned with him? Because clearly I wouldn't call it a demotion, but in a sense, you know,
it definitely was. Yeah, yeah, it definitely was.
It's a demotion, and which means they didn't have, you know, what they really wanted out of him, that juice that they really wanted out of him. But now he's coming back up. So that is going to be interesting to see, because he's got a lot of the elements to make it work. I mean, the thing with JBL didn't work.
That was the shits, Robin. It was like my least favorite thing ever.
You're so nice too. So for you to say that, you know,
it was the shit. I felt so bad for Baron, and he's been given some like dog shit stuff. Okay,
dog food.
Literally, this poor guy, like, I've gotten to the point where I feel bad for Baron Corbin. And over on the NXT side, things legitimately picked up for him. Like, him and Bron Breakker actually became this lovable duo of just bros who are, I don't know, bro-y. I don't even know how to describe that. Whatever. And so, like, Baron Corbin, like, this is the first time where we're not going to see Baron Corbin under what Vince McMahon wants Baron Corbin to be. So that is exciting. I hope that Baron Corbin finally gets an opportunity to be something cool on the main roster instead of people going, "Ah, oh, Baron Corbin, damn, instant go away heat." Yeah, he doesn't deserve that.
And we've talked about this, but you know, WWE has gotten most things right, in my opinion. In my opinion, they bat, you know, 90%. You know, 90% of what they do has worked over the last couple of years. So they, you know, the benefit of the doubt is not just given, it is earned. They have earned the benefit of the doubt, in my mind, at least the creative people and what they're doing on the episodic television and on the PLEs. And so with that, I have faith that whatever they have planned in Baron Corbin could click. I see somebody saying, yeah, JGR for life. Corbin can have a great feud with LA Knight. You know, like that is the kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, I could see that happen.
So I got to tell you, I'm also excited about seeing Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn over on the Raw side. I think that they can be a great tag team. They already got the characters down. I'm excited for them. And then everybody else is the same. So it is what it is. But there you go. So that was our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much to Denisha and to everybody here that was letting us know that there was new picks on social media. Because I feel like you always miss those, man. Like if you're not living on social media, you're going to miss some stuff. So I'm very happy that we got to get that in here on the show before we wrap things. Alrighty, everyone. But that is it. Thank you guys so much, as always, for your support, for tuning in. And we will catch you guys over on the next one. Bye, everyone.